This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Nope. Wrong. No Amy Marks course today.
She's not here.
I got John Hancock with me hanging out.
He's here.
Yeah, there you are, buddy.
Yeah.
We're gonna have a fun day today.
Stupid cameras on again. I don't like these cameras.
Come on, man. I'm looking at the camera right now.
Yeah.
You look fine.
I look old.
You don't look old. I think you look great.
All right.
Thank you. John is on camera. We're all on camera. If you want to watch us on the stream, you can. On YouTube, Facebook, you find the KMOX page. We're on both of those. And we're on Twitter as well, but you got to be following our Twitter account,
wow,
at Chris Amy KMOX. Please do that. It's not that difficult. It's very easy to find. We're streaming on the Odyssey app, and from the app, you can leave us a voice message. There's a little button that says send a message. You click on it, and then you record your message and send it. You might get to hear yourself on the air. We should also remind you that we are a little bit less than 2 weeks away. March 24th, we will be moving over to 104.1 FM. We'll still be on KMOX 1120, but we are going to have a new frequency, 104.1 FM.
It'll be like you're listening to NPR when you hear our voices out there.
Only not as sleepy.
Yeah, well, it depends on the day.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everybody will be talking about.
Today is a monumental anniversary, John. 5 years ago today, COVID in the United States was declared a public health emergency. It was declared a pandemic. It's been 5 years.
What a mess. And Speaker Mike Johnson is looking to pass a stopgap measure as government shutdown deadline looms on Friday.
Cardinals will play the Marlins today. That's going to be a 12:05 start as Grapefruit League play continues. We'll talk to Bernie Miklas. We'll get some Cardinals talk in today. That's coming up on the show. We will have the mayor of Brentwood, David Dimmitt, visiting with us because there is a proposal by Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman out of the state of Missouri to implement remove state sales tax on groceries. And that would also prevent municipalities from implementing their own taxes on groceries throughout the state. He is against that. And we're going to talk to him about why that's going to happen. And if you have been paying attention to the markets, don't.
Yeah.
Because it is bad. And it's been bad for a couple of days now. There's a lot of uncertainty. And we're going to talk to Dave Simons, who is one of our financial experts.
He's the best.
He's actually our financial expert.
He is. Dollars and cents. And he's just a phenomenal human being. Love
Dave. Yeah, I love Dave Simons. So he will give us all the information we need. That is coming up on the show. But don't look at your portfolio unless it's imminent for you, which is not funny because for a lot of people this is not good. But if this is one of those things where you just don't need to look at it for any period of time, I would say don't, because it's not good. So, as I mentioned, John, 5 years ago today,
yeah,
it was the pandemic declared. by the World Health Organization. It happened on March 11th of 2020. Later that night, this is when it was it for me. The NBA player, Rudy Gobert, who had just done a press conference. Everybody was aware of COVID by this point, and we were all sort of uneasy, like, should we be doing this? Like, what's the, I mean, should we be going out? Should we be going to concerts and all of that? And I remember he had that press conference where he stood up and playfully he went back and touched everybody's microphones, you know, like, COVID, everybody's afraid of COVID. And he started touching everybody's stuff. And then like later that night, he got sick and he tested positive for COVID. The NBA season canceled. They stopped their games March 11th. Well, they made the decision March 11th that March 12th, there would be no NBA. That was when it was real for me. And I remember
they were the first.
They were the first.
And then baseball followed.
Everything followed after the NBA.
Then they canceled the Battle Hawks. That's when you knew.
They did.
That's when you knew. I had tickets.
Me too.
I had tickets.
I had gone, John, to the last game before they canceled everything.
I had tickets to the next game.
We were about to break the record.
I
guess there was a record. I don't know. But with the attendance, because Battle Hawks, well attended. And we were ready to fill the upper bowl, remember?
Oh, I do.
Yeah, I was going to.
That quarterback, what's his name?
So, age.
Te'amu.
Te'amu.
Jordan.
Jordan Te'amu.
How about me? I'm old, but still, the old synapses are still clicking up.
And then he ended up with the Kansas City Chiefs.
He did.
On their, was either practice squad or backup, or something. Yeah. So, John, here we are 5 years later. Do you feel like we've learned anything from it?
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever do that again. Shut down the economy the way we did. And even if the government would try it now, I don't think the people would go along with it. So, I mean, I do think we learned from that. You look at the death rates and the sickness rates, and you compare the United States to Sweden, which left everything open, and there's no appreciable difference in terms of mortality percentages or anything else. And so I thought it was interesting the way Sweden decided to handle and confront that. And I think that's probably the course that the world's going to take the next time. And there'll be another pandemic. You know, they come along every 100 years or so, if not more frequently. So I don't think we'll ever shut down the economy again like that.
We had about 1.2 million people who died from it. And I agree. I don't think it's the right thing, but I do agree that if something were to come up again, we would collectively just be like, nope, not doing that again.
Yeah, right.
Just because it got so political and the people who were against any sort of shutdown at all were so against it and so loud. And I get it. Like, I understand, you know, being concerned for business and, you know, if you have a job where your livelihood depends on you going in and there's no such thing as, you know, time paid time off, or you don't have the luxury of working from home.
Yeah,
I understand that, but you kind of also have to weigh that against how many people are we willing to kill here.
Well,
in order to do it,
people who are immunocompromised, I mean, they've got to take precautions clearly. Had dinner the other night with a buddy of mine. He owns a few restaurants, and a couple of them in St. Louis County. He has one on Main Street in St. Charles. And he was just talking about how that restaurant in St. Charles during COVID, because they didn't shut down, was gangbusters. You couldn't get a table in there, people.
Yeah.
And you know, and you think about the folks here. And then look at what the government did in response. So these restaurant owners, there was a package that passed that, you know, they got a lot of money from the federal government. And so did any business owner. You remember the PPP loans?
Yeah.
What a ridiculous waste of money that was. Not targeted. Companies that were doing fine, they got the money. Every free money you apply for. And, you know, look what happened to our deficit under that. And then the massive government spending, whether it be the money to states and local governments, you know, the whole of the response to COVID, I think, was flawed.
It probably went a little too far, but there had to be one. And I can't agree with the idea that we should have let all these businesses just outright fail. Yeah, people did take advantage of the loans. We know that for a fact. Those people should be gone after.
Well,
you should suffer a penalty for that. But that doesn't mean that a business that had to shut down should not have gotten assistance. You don't allow businesses to die because of a pandemic. To me, that's when a government is important, is when there is an emergency, a nationwide emergency like a pandemic.
I've got no trouble with helping people who, you know, business, but the PPP went to everybody. And it wasn't, they weren't abusing it. It was free money, and you'd apply for it, you get it. So it was a terrible piece of public policy and a terrible precedent, and I hope we never do something like that again.
That is John Hancock. I'm Chris Ranji. And, you know, if you've got thoughts throughout the show today, no matter what we are talking about, we want to hear from you at 314-436-7900, our phone number to call and to send us text messages. As I mentioned, we will talk to Dave Simons a little bit later. We'll see how the markets do over the course of the next hour and 45 minutes
or so. It's not good so far, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, when they opened this morning, it was not quite as bad as it was yesterday, but apparently it's accelerated.
Yeah.
So I really hope we are not heading toward a recession, and this does seem like it was avoidable. But, you know, that's why we'll talk to Dave about that. Maybe he disagrees. Maybe this was going to happen anyway. But we'll talk to Dave Simons later on.
I can't wait for that.
I know, right?
He's a smart guy, that Dave.
He's very smart. I got John Hancock with me hanging out. Don't forget, on the Odyssey app, you can send us a voice message. And also, don't forget, I'm going to keep reminding you, we will be for the next 2 weeks, probably telling you every 5 minutes, we are adding a new frequency. We will be on 104.1 FM starting March 24th, right as the baseball season is about to begin. Aren't you lucky?
It's going to be great.
It's the Chris and Amy Show with John Hancock on KMOX. I don't think I'm going to explain it because I want you to figure it out.
Yeah.
But this is, this music we're playing is really clever.
I like it.
It's very clever for today. Today specifically.
Huh.
Yeah. I'm going to let you figure that out.
Well, I can't figure it out.
There's a band called 311.
There it is.
There you go. I am going
to explain it. That's a nice little melody they got cooking there.
That's right.
I like it.
It's called Amber.
Huh. Whoa, that's a word you hear a lot.
I saw 311 play at a free concert at Creighton University.
You don't say.
That's right.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's the home of the College World Series of baseball.
That's Omaha.
Yeah.
I like Omaha. It's a pretty cool town.
Omaha is a cool town.
I like it.
Very underrated.
They, for a while, and this was, again, prior to the pandemic, they were trying to establish themselves as a craft beer destination.
Yeah.
And so they have a bunch of breweries, and then the pandemic hit, and
there's some neat little parts of Omaha. I had Nebraska is one of the states I had when I did the Romney campaign years ago. And it's a nifty little town, Omaha.
And the stadium you're talking about, where the College World Series is, where Creighton plays. Creighton is a serious baseball school. And that stadium looks semi-professional.
Yeah.
It's really, really nice.
Yeah, it is. It is. Bob Gibson is a graduate of Creighton University.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So John Hancock is with me today, and for Amy Marks Kors, I'm Chris Ranji. I've mentioned the move to 104.1 FM. You weren't here yesterday, John. You have a regular job.
I do.
This isn't your typical job, but we made a huge announcement yesterday.
I heard that.
Right? Isn't this great?
104.1 FM.
Yeah.
That's an actual real signal.
It is. Yeah. It'll sound great. So that's going to get started March 24th. And if you haven't listened to sports on FM, give it a shot, because everything sounds really clear, a lot of detail. It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I'm excited. It's going to be great.
Speaking of sports, I heard you're really good at pickleball.
Well, no, I'm not really good, but you know, they had the little knee flare up on me in the fall. And then, of course, the winter blows in. And so I was away from the sport there for several months. And my calendar has not jived with the neighbors. My neighbor, Dully, across the street, he's the organizer of pickleball. And so anyway, yesterday came and he said, "You want to play?" And I said, "Okay." So I got out there. Awful runs. First two games, I mean, I'm whiffing. I'm like, the ball's coming and I miss it. And that's not good. And, you know, and when I did hit it, it would go so far, you know, you got to get it in a little box there. But then the old feel came back, Ron.
Oh, yeah?
You know, it was like I never left.
Like riding a bike.
It was like riding a horse. And, you know, yeah, I was, you know, putting the ball over the net there. And so I lost the first two games I played. I won the next three.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we lost the last one. But it was close.
How you feeling, though?
The knees are barking a little bit.
Well, so here's what you've done. You've had a couple of athletic achievements in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
From a standing position.
That's right.
You touched the net.
I did.
On a full.
Twice.
On a regulation rim.
Yep.
You did it twice.
I did.
We have proof of it once.
Yeah.
And you did this on two bad knees.
Yeah.
And then you go play pickleball.
Yeah, I did. There I was. Man, charging the net. I mean, it was quite a sight. That's all I can tell you.
Pajeski, have you played pickleball yet? No. Me neither.
I'm you too haven't
young.
Played.
Too young.
You're too young for the pickleball.
Too young?
Pickleball.
Huh.
There are people your age playing pickleball.
There were picklers out there last night.
They're playing tennis. They're playing tennis.
No, the picklers were playing pickleball.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give it a shot.
You ought to do it, Paige. You'd love it.
Do you know about the pickleball noise issue?
I do.
Yeah, because the pickleball, the noise, the ball on the paddle and on the court, it's just so incessantly loud that people who live close to pickleball courts, where the courts weren't there when they moved in,
yeah,
they are losing their minds.
They're not happy about it.
It is the decibels on a pickleball, on a pickleball court is about 70,
mm-hmm.
which is just under a vacuum cleaner, which is 75, and is more than a city background noise of 55.
Yeah, no, it's loud. Now, I've got, you know, of course, I don't like to brag or anything. But
decibels. We're talking about decibels here. So 70
paddle.
Decibels play with pickleball.
Well, that's because people are playing with these plastic paddles. I've got a coated paddle, almost like a ping pong paddle. You know, it's got the little coating on there. So the noise emanating from my paddle is considerably less than it would be for somebody that's got a full-on plastic thing going on.
I don't know if that matters.
Of course it does. It's
because it's still a hard. It's hard. It's a hard surface.
It's hard, but it's not plastic on plastic. You know the pickleball.
Do you own your own like it's a professional pickleball?
You got to have the equipment, Ron. It's the, you know, I don't go to the snooker parlor without my snooker.
It's
cube.
It's just a paddle.
Yeah.
How much difference can there be in a paddle? See, I've played tennis before.
Yeah. You got to have your own racket.
The rackets are very different.
Yeah.
Because of how you string them,
right.
You know, the thickness of the racket,
very
the material it's made of. Mm-hmm. Like, there are so many variances.
Yeah, so
a pickleball,
many.
There's no way a pickleball paddle's anything close to that.
Well,
give me a hard surface.
If I bring my paddle in here, you will look at it and you'll say, wow, that's the finest looking pickleball paddle I've ever seen in my life.
What I love about you
yeah.
is that you have your own pickleball paddle.
I do.
Does it have a little case?
It's got a bag.
And you have your own snooker. Do they call it a cue?
Yeah, it is a cue, yeah. You know, the snooker cue is different than a pool cue because the pool cue, you know, is a thicker tip. The snooker tip is very small.
Why?
Because the balls are a little smaller, and it takes a little getting used to. But once you can manipulate that cue ball, it's all about manipulating the cue ball. That's the whole game right there.
How long did it take you to figure out how to be proficient?
A while. So we started playing right before the pandemic, actually. And, you know, we both stunk when we started. And then now only one of us stinks. So that's
who's that? Michael. Oh, Michael still? I don't think Michael's heart's in.
Actually, he's gotten a lot better. He's gotten a lot better. He plays his mental game has really elevated. I'll give him that.
This is a testament to how good of a friend he is to you.
Yeah.
And how much he loves you.
He is a good guy.
That he goes and plays this sport that he doesn't even really like.
Oh, he likes it.
Just so he can hang out with you.
You would like it. I'm telling you, if you.
All right, let's go play.
I'm in.
We'll go to the Galleon?
I'm in.
Okay. All right. After a show one day, we'll go play at the Galleon.
Count me in. I'm ready to roll.
Okay.
I'll teach you the game. You'll love it. It's a beautiful game.
I used to have a pool table.
Yeah.
I don't know where my parents got it. I think my grandpa had it, and we brought it to our house when I was a kid, and it was one of those where all the balls rolled to the middle. Oh. Because there was a dip in the center of the
table. That's not good.
So it wasn't a true thing, but it was fun anyway. So if you're good at pool, would you be good at snooker?
It's a different game. So snooker, half of your shots are defensive. You're not trying to make a ball.
Oh.
You're trying to bury the cue ball somewhere, keep your opponent from scoring. And there's an art to that. You're getting around the table without, you know. In pool, you splatter the balls on the break. In snooker, you want to shave just one red off and get the cue ball all the way back down the table. So it's a whole different mindset.
It's a gentleman's game.
It is.
A gentleman's game?
You call fouls on yourself? It is a gentleman's game.
What's a foul?
Well, there's all kinds of fouls.
Like, for example?
So, say you scratch the cue ball, that's a foul.
Oh, okay.
You don't hit the red, that's a foul.
Okay. All right, I guess I'll have to figure it out.
I'll teach you, man.
All right, it'll be fun. I'm into it. I'll play. If you do live near a pickleball court, let us know what your bad experience is like. Or if you like that... Let us know if you maybe you do. Maybe it's the background to your life.
Well, people are eating popcorn out there. It's the same thing.
314-436-7900. But we'd prefer you to leave us a message on the Odyssey app. When we come back, we're going to talk to Lenny Jones, who is the vice president and Missouri State Director of SEIU Healthcare, because there are some issues maybe heading the way of the state of Missouri as it pertains to nursing homes and funding for those homes. This is a very big problem that could be our way, especially if Medicare and Medicaid cuts are coming. We'll talk to Lenny Jones next on KMOX.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with Bolt Cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, non-stop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
John Hancock and Chris Ranji on KMOX today. We are glad you are with us. And there's a lot of concern in the medical industry. really around the country, there's concern about what might happen if there are significant cuts to Medicare, especially as it pertains to nursing homes in the country and here in the state of Missouri. To talk about that with us, the challenges that we are facing now and could be facing down the road, the Vice President and Missouri State Director of SEIU Healthcare, Lenny Jones, is with us. Shawna Whitfield is a healthcare worker there. Both are in studio. Good to have you. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having us.
So let's first talk about the challenges that the industry is facing now. Forget about what might be coming. What challenges is Missouri or are Missouri like currently having to deal with?
Yeah, so I'll start with that, and I'll let Shunda jump in and give the point of view from somebody who works in a nursing home. But in general, Missouri has some of the lowest Medicaid funding in the country, has some of the worst staffing to resident ratio, and there's a direct correlation of staff to resident ratio depends on what the quality of care is. So we have done studies that demonstrate how low that care is in the city of St. Louis. 95% of the nursing homes are Medicaid nursing homes that have the lowest ratios. You saw back in December of 2013, Northview Village, which at the time was the largest nursing home in the city of St. Louis, shut its doors in the middle of the night, threw 174 residents out in the street, 184 workers lost their jobs overnight. And that's emblematic of the types of stress that nursing home operators have currently, and then the workers who work there feel the burden of that stress because they're having huge numbers of residents that they're having to take care of. And I think Shunda can give some of that example.
Yes, I work in a nursing home / behavior health. The nursing homes are different now. Usually you can go to work and you know what you're facing with the seniors or whatever. Now it's like the nursing home are full of mental, psych.
Dementia,
Maybe some seniors are still there, but the most part is people like you and I, you know, young people. And we have to take care of up to 20, 30 people. But these are people that me and your age is, and they got a mental health issue. So it's really detrimental to the staff, you know. Because if I'm watching over a ward full of nothing but men and it's just me, things happen.
Yep.
It opens doors for things to happen. So I just feel like the Medicaid cut, where do they put me, you know, as a worker? I mean, it's not just for people that's on assistance. It's for people that works as well.
Yeah, the industry is such that they're built on Medicaid reimbursements that are paid to the nursing facilities. And there's a constant back and forth between the government and the nursing homes to get those reimbursement rates up. And so you guys are worried about federal cuts to Medicaid that are in the budget that's pending right now in Washington. There haven't been specific cuts made to Medicaid, but the overall target number in the budget would leave you the question, how could you do any of this without cutting Medicaid? I think that's a concern. Mm-hmm. Shunda, I've had both my mom and dad and my mother-in-law have all gone through, lived, and passed away in a nursing facility. And I just want to tell you, the people who care, the caregivers at those places, are remarkable people. And what you have to deal with on a day in and day out basis is, you know, unless you've experienced it, it's unimaginable. And it takes a special person to do what you do. So I wanted to thank you for that because I know.
No problem.
I know.
Yes. It can get very stressful because when you can't move around and move about and you looking over 20, 30 people and you can't get to this person in time enough, you have to deal with the family member.
It's physically taxing.
Yes. Yeah.
And you got to be tired. Lenny, what does happen if Medicaid gets reduced. You say Missouri's already got one of the lowest participation there. Most of the folks in long-term care in Missouri are on Medicaid at this point. Very few private pay. What happens? What does a consequence look like?
Yeah, well, the squeeze is on the workers once again. So if currently we're in a situation where staffing ratios are so low in nursing homes because of financing, take away some more of that money, the staffing's going to get worse. And we're at a moment where there's tremendous increase in need. More people are baby boomers, are retiring, getting older, needing services like nursing home care. It's just going to be a bigger squeeze for nursing home workers.
So what is the – do you have a specific or a close number in mind as to what you think – we might be missing out on? Because there are people who say, well, the administration says they're not going to cut Medicare, they're not going to cut Medicaid, they're not going to touch any of that. But do you have numbers? Do you know what might actually end up happening?
Nothing has been floated directly, but with what, John, you pointed out, there is a number out there. They need to find $800 billion in cuts over a 10-year. There's not many buckets to pull that money from. So if they're looking,
it kind of has to come from Medicaid.
Medicaid's a target. And so you see comments from Senator Hawley saying, hands off Medicaid, which is great. You know, we're trying to get a meeting with him to firm that down. But that's the kind of word that we need to hear and that we need to be getting out there. Like, there are significant consequences.
The thing about the federal budget is when you – if you take defense and entitlement programs off the table, say we're not going to touch those things, or you make some nominal cuts in defense, what's left and of course, debt service on paying our federal – interest on the federal debt, which is $38 trillion – when you take those things off the table and you say we're going to cut government, what's left to cut is about a third of the government, and it's called non-defense discretionary spending. There's not enough money there. And whenever Republicans have been in power, they've cut non-defense discretionary spending every single time they've had the White House and the Congress. So it's not like there's a lot of money. So when you're talking numbers like $800 billion, it's either going to be defense or entitlements or both. And I think that's the concern that you all have.
That's right. I want to also lift up the bigger impact is actually on home care services. Mm-hmm. 67% of Missouri nursing homes are funded by Medicaid. Almost 100% of home care services are. And for your listeners, I bet you almost all of them would rather be at home when they get older, would like home care services. That's an area that's really going to be impacted.
So it's not even a... It's wild that we're having this conversation, because the conversation should be how much more do we need, not how much less are we going to have to deal with. And that's the conversation we're having, is what are we going to lose when people – look, I've been around it. I have family who've had to deal with this, people who have home health care and or maybe couldn't afford home health care and had to do it themselves. That is an impossible job. It's an impossible job to look after somebody who needs care, and you've got your own life to deal with.
Exactly.
So how do we better help those people?
Absolutely. Our answer has always been we need more federal funding to support programs like nursing home care, and that comes through Medicaid. And I think it's super – Medicaid's very popular. 90% of Missourians support Medicaid. And we need to really lift up those voices to say, like, Medicaid is for senior citizens, Medicaid is for young children, Medicaid is for people with disabilities, right? And we, you know, we need to protect that. We need to make the case that more money should be going into these programs, not less.
Interested to ask Shunda, because you're living this now. How is the relationship between the operators of the facilities and the workers? Is there a lot of collaboration that takes place? Does it vary from owner to owner? Or what does that look like?
Well, I've been in my job going on 11 years now. And, you know, we have a pretty good, you know, from time to time. But they come in and, you know, they may have a meeting and then they go or what have you. I think just, you know, we are there, the people that's been there for the longest time. It's not about a dollar for us. It's about the compassion.
So that's the thing. I have found that the folks that do what you do, you have a heart. You wouldn't do that job if your heart wasn't geared to just loving people and appreciating the beauty of human life and the lifelong of experiences that that person has and the richness of that. So you're a special person, man. Really.
Thank
are.
You.
Yeah.
So what's next? You did say that you're hoping to or going to meet with Senator Hawley.
We have an ask out to his office. Shunda was in D.C. a couple of weeks ago for a national lobby day. She visited with several offices, didn't get meetings with any of our congresspeople in Missouri at that time, going back again March 26th for a lobby day. I also want to shout out another praise for Shunda. She, with her relationship with the owners, she brings the issues to management and they deal effectively. So when workers are empowered and have those relationships, nursing homes can be a lot better places. Mm-hmm. The big challenge we have is a lot of outstate owners coming in, buying up property as an investment, right? A way for them to maximize their profits, which means driving down the costs in the nursing homes, which means less care. That's the thing that we face more than anything else.
So if people are listening, and I would implore them to keep this in mind, that it may not be affecting you now, but there is a very good chance it is going to at some point in your life, maybe even soon. So this, it may not sound like something that matters to you in the moment, but it's going to. If they want to be able to assist you in any way, how can they do it? If people listening.
Yeah, I think they can, first and foremost, there's a lobby day that we have coming up. And if I can just give Senator Hawley's phone number out, just to be able to put in a call to his office.
Don't give his cell phone number.
I won't do that. 202-224-6154 is his D.C. office. Again, 202-224-6154. The message is simple. Hands off of Medicaid.
All right. Lenny Jones and Shunda Whitfield, we really appreciate you both coming in. Thank you for what you do. And we hope that the cuts don't come, or if they do, they're not nearly as bad, because we clearly need people who do what you do. So thank you for coming in.
Amen.
Yes.
John Hancock and Chris Ranji on KMOX.
Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
John,
yo.
This is not good news.
Oh.
Sometimes I like to bring you good news on this segment we call Did You See This?
Did you see that?
Not good. Southwest Airlines announced today that they will start charging for checked bags. We knew this was coming. This was sort of alluded to several weeks ago when not a venture capitalist, but a private equity firm that has invested heavily. It's called Elliott Investment Management. Mm-hmm. They've done the same in Starbucks. But these people have put pressure on Southwest Airlines to make them charge you for checking your bags. So one of the most popular things about Southwest, bags fly free.
Yeah.
They're going to have to move away from that now.
Well, and they're going to start assigning seats, right? Did I read that too?
That was a proposal as well. And there's going to be an economy class. I forgot exactly what they called it, but there's going to be like a super economy sort of. I know what that means. I don't know how the seats could get any closer together.
No kidding. I'm all legs. You know, I have no torso. So it's the worst for me. I have to have an aisle seat, and then I stick them out in the aisle, and people tripping. It's not good.
No, that's really bad.
Not good.
You ever seen the design of the... It's like a hyper-economy seat. I don't think any airline has actually done it, but it's like it's almost like you're standing.
Hmm.
You're not exactly standing, but it's a very small...
angle.
You have to see it.
It's an angle. You're leaning. You're leaning.
You're
basically.
Kind of leaning for the entire flight.
Yeah.
Huh. What would you think of that?
Well, if you're flying to Chicago, it'd be fine.
Yeah, an hour you can handle.
Right, but if you're flying to London, probably.
Well, I don't think Southwest goes to London.
Not yet. Now that they're charging for bags, who knows? The whole world's upside down now. Now, are you a bag checker? Generally,
it depends. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't mind it. I rarely have an issue with checked bags. I don't. Knock on wood.
I've never had mine, yeah.
I've never had anything lost or rerouted to somewhere it wasn't supposed to go. I've never really had that
happen. So I'm the biggest overpacker.
Me too.
Ever.
That's why.
Because you don't know.
That's exactly right.
And you know what? And you, something happens and all of a sudden your sock gets a hole in it. Well, you need an extra pair of socks in case something happens. You know?
See?
Somebody spills, you know, lemonade all over your shirt. You're done. I mean, you've got to be prepared.
I could not agree with you anymore.
How many pairs of shoes do you take for a weekend?
For a weekend?
Yeah. You got to have a couple.
So I'll have a couple. Yeah. I'll have the pair that I have on
right.
And probably two others.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
You never know what you're going to do.
Do you pack your slippers?
I don't pack slippers.
I do pack slippers. Because you know what's on the floors of those hotels.
That's true.
Yeah. And you gotta have your stuff out there.
You know what you could do, though? Yeah. It's probably wasteful, but whatever. Ask for extra towels and you can put them on the floor.
Well, you could do that. So,
and make yourself a little pathway
to the bathroom. We complain about what Elon Musk has done to Twitter all the time. But there's one thing that he has brought to that platform that has revolutionized my life.
Yeah.
They've got these little videos that pop up that show you how to pack. Have you seen these?
No.
So you get your shirts out there. You throw the shirts down side by side by side. You get a pair of pants, stretch it out across that. And then you fold that sucker up, Ronj, and roll it into a tight little roll. You got three shirts and a pair of pants. Whoosh, little roll right in the corner of the small suitcase. Incredible.
Is that called like a military roll or something?
It's something. But I've been watching these videos, man. And I'm going on this trip this week. I'm going to be rolling and packing and stacking and see how much I can get away with. I can't wait. I'm excited.
Well, buddy, I can't wait to see you do it.
I know it.
Take a photo of it.
Oh, we have to.
And send it
hopefully
to me.
It'll be better than my net-touching photo. But, yeah. I'm excited.
This Southwest thing is really it's really a problem.
It's getting to you.
Hey, John, did you see that we're getting a new frequency?
I did see that. 104.1.
104.1 FM. KMOX is moving over there. We're still, don't worry, if you're listening to 1120 or a little further out, you're still going to get 1120.
That was a hip-hop station, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of people freaking out on March the 24th.
Oh, yeah.
Tuning in to hear.
Whoa. I want to hear some Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
John Hancock.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, so 104.1 FM, that is going to be KMOX moving forward and just in time for opening day.
How about that?
That will start March 24th, midnight of March 24th. So you'll wake up in the morning, March 24th on that Monday.
Boom.
104.1 FM.
Boom.
KMOX. It is John Hancock and Chris Ronji.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.